Always What's Poured In proudly presents The Royal Man Report, brought to you by Kings of Coffee, featuring Mike Engel, KC Royal Man, and producer Aaron Gnerk. Check us out every Sunday from 7 to 8 p.m. at royalmanreport.com. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Report. Download the Stitcher radio app to your BlackBerry, iPhone, or Android device. Opening music and breaks provided to you by 49 Stones, www.49stones.net. Check them out. And now, the Royal Man Report.
And welcome to another edition of the Royal Man Report. It is a gorgeous Sunday evening here in Kansas City. The date is Sunday, October 16th. I'm joined in studio this week by Fake Ned Yost.
Hi-ho!
And Jeff Herr.
Hello.
Troy is out. He is being the royal best man at a wedding.
Hello.
I worked on that all week.
Nice. It paid off.
It was worth it. You can always check us out on kingsofkaufman.com. We are brought to you every week, of course, by Kelly's Westport Inn. And some good news, they are going to be sponsoring us through the off season. So we're going to be weekly and bring you good content every week. Find us
on. We're going to start bringing good content. Does that start this week?
Any day now.
Nice. Yes.
Any day now. Unfortunately, we start bringing it on Tuesdays, but we're not recording. So it's like.
It's just unfortunate it works out that way.
I know. It's terrible. You can always download the podcast after the live show on Stitcher Radio. We're also on iTunes. You can find them on pretty much any of the smartphone download programs. Google Listen, for example. Find us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Royal Man Reports. Just some things to go over. You know, it's kind of an awkward time of the season to cover the Royals because they're not really doing anything. We did have the bench coach a couple of weeks ago, but otherwise not really a lot of transactions. I mean, we'll talk a little bit about one in particular. We're going to go over some of the Arizona Fall League and maybe a little instructional league stuff. But, you know, last show we were hoping to have Jason Parks from Baseball Prospectus on. There were some technical gremlins that prevented that, so you know, we're going to try to get him on hopefully next week, if possible. He's been down in Mexico City, so that's kind of been the wrinkle that we're running into. But you know, we did get a lot of discussion on the Chiefs last week. We talked a little bit about, you know, the instructional league and kind of covered the importance of, say, like minor league stats, instructional league stats, and you know, those off season stats for those guys who are in the Arizona Fall League. So always interesting stuff there. And, you know, there's always stuff going on in the off season and always something to talk about. That's the great thing about Kansas City, because everybody's got an opinion here and nobody's really afraid to share it. So, but last show was pretty interesting. One of the things that has happened in the last week, the Royals did interview Dave Island as for the vacant pitching coach position. A little background on him. He is a former pitcher for the Yankees, the Padres, and the Tampa Bay Rays. So that tells you kind of, I think he's 45 years old. He's formerly been the pitching coach for the Yankees from 2008 to 2010. So he's got a little bit of a track record for him. Pretty interesting stuff. What do you guys think of the potential of this guy coming in and maybe being the pitching coach? Again, it's just an interview. It hasn't been an offer. He hasn't accepted. It's just an interview.
Well, I think from the outset, he seems to somewhat kind of fit at least the mold of what they're looking for. He came out after the season, and they said Dayton Moore and Ned Yost said they were looking for someone who was basically in the majors for a while with mediocre stuff, because that's pretty much what most of the Royals pitchers have.
Yeah,
so he needs to kind of someone who knows like a, I guess you would call him a cerebral pitcher. So yeah. I think he might fit that mold. I haven't done a ton of research on him, but from what I kind of saw initially, that seems to be kind of fit that mold a little bit.
Now that the video's working, I need to.
Yeah, we need to point out, if you're watching live, you will see this, because we've got Jeff, who is a Kansas Jayhawks fan, as he rightfully should be.
Yes. The smart one, if you will.
Right, correct. And it just happened that he's got the blue microphone, and Chris, who is a Mizzou fan, has the yellow microphone. Absolutely not planned, just kind of happened that way.
How did you guys do yesterday? Good?
Mm-hmm. It was you know what? It was actually better than you would have thought.
Yeah.
I believe they beat the spread. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah, they covered.
It was 30.5.
Not hard when it's.
Hey, you know, if it works for South Park, it works for us.
Sorry, Jeff. You'll need to understand very quickly that I can derail absolutely any program, no matter what were you guys talking about? Anything exciting?
We were talking about
pitching
Whitney
coach?
Houston.
Whitney Houston.
Yes. Correct.
She's off the wagon, isn't she?
Was
she ever on the wagon?
She was flying.
Let's
you
get
actually
back,
listening
let's
to
back
that
to
before
the pitching
we started,
coach. No. No, Dave Island, he pitched 10 years in the majors, so, you know, that does fit that kind of mediocre pitcher. And in 300-some innings, he had a 5.76 ERA. I think he struck out maybe 4 batters per 9 innings. You know, really not a good major league pitcher, but he did enough. Yeah. He did enough to stick around, and he always had a job available for those 10 years. So, you know, and it's not always the guys who are talented that become the best coaches. You know, somebody like... You know, I've used the example of King Griffey Jr. I don't know. King Griffey Jr. couldn't teach somebody how to be King Griffey Jr. because those guys come around so very rarely.
I think generally when you look at pretty much any sport, anyone who would be considered the greatest, I mean, Gretzky has never been a great coach. And Michael Jordan, I mean, he's an owner, but I think he, from what I've heard, you know, he goes down and practice, whatever. But I don't think he has a very good coaching prospect to him. So
I think it's almost ceremonial in some respects for guys like that. Danny Manning is a good example of that. I know he does a lot of work with the big guys on the KU basketball team, but I don't know how much coaching he does. Personally.
College is all about recruiting anyway.
Yeah,
so
right. Yeah,
you somebody's dad on the coaching staff, and
yeah.
But you look.
That happens a lot.
Someone like Tom Brady. I mean, I don't see him being a good coach. I don't even think he has any interest in it.
Yeah.
Now.
Because how can you teach someone to see that vision?
Exactly.
You know? But you know, while Island was there in New York, he did do some work with guys like Jabba Chamberlain and Phil Hughes and younger pitchers like. Well, he worked with A.J. Burnett, who's not a younger pitcher, but he did turn him around in 2010. And then there are some issues with Island. He took a leave of absence for 25 days in June of 2010, and it's never really been explained why. And then at some point, I think it was in August of 2010, A.J. Burnett ends up with a black eye, and the Yankees losing the ALCS, and Island gets fired. So there's a little bit of mystery. There's, you know, the usual kind of gossip. Which I'm not going to get into because really, who knows? It's not my place to know.
He didn't do anything. He didn't train Brad Penny at any point in time, did he?
No.
Good.
No, I don't think so.
Well, then he's all right by me.
Right, exactly. So, well, I mean, I think he's just one of the guys that they're talking to. I think it's telling that the Royals haven't really been that active, or at least they haven't allowed people to know that they're that active while the playoffs are still going. You know, there's a couple guys, you know, I think Mike Maddox is the guy that was cited by Ned Yost originally as the kind of prototype for a pitching coach. And obviously the Rangers are still in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So that might be the guy they're after. I think Derek Lilliquist, is he one of the guys on the Cardinals? He's not the pitching coach, obviously, but I think he's works with the staff. Mm-hmm. Might be a guy. I don't know. I mean, you never know. And until they actually announce something, I don't think they're going to let anybody know, because the Royals usually keep a pretty tight ship for those rumors. And, you know, it's tough to really get them out.
And despite my, call it dislike for the Cardinals, I think if there was anyone from that staff as far as pitching coaching that the Royals are going after, I wouldn't mind that at all, because that's one thing I think the Cardinals have done exceptionally well over the last 10 years, which is hard for me to admit, but they've developed quite a few very, very good pitchers.
They take guys who have pretty mediocre stuff, or at least barely above average, and they turn them into guys who can do something. So, you know, they're on to something there. Kyle Loesch has won a couple playoff games. I mean, what more proof do you need there? And other kind of off-season shuffling, the Cubs obviously are looking for a new general manager, and you know, depending on who you ask, it's almost certain that they're going to be going for Theo Epstein from the Boston Red Sox. You know, all kinds of crazy stuff in Boston. You know, how could that impact the Royals? Well, you know, the Royals, we were talking about it a lot last week. They have so many good guys in the front office, guys like J.J. Piccolo and Bonnie Goldberg and Mike Arbuckle, guys like that who would definitely, I think, be targets for other positions. You know, right now, Boston is going to have to look for a new GM if he leaves. I mean, they've had Allard Baird there for a while, but I think Royals fans can attest to his ability to manage a roster, you know, but maybe it'd be different in Boston. You never know. I mean, it's not like
different owner,
yeah, that's true.
About five times the payroll, you know, and starting off with a team that's been in contention and won World Series within the last 10 years.
All the general manager would really have to do is just say no more fried chicken in the clubhouse.
And right.
Then
exactly.
He's problem automatically solved. No more beer during games and he's fixed the Red Sox.
He's fixed
go out
them.
There and play baseball.
There you go. There first you place. Go. No more third place.
Brilliant.
No more falling about. So you never know. I think any of those guys would be options. Plus, there could easily be other movement on that front for other teams who maybe fire or look to replace their general managers. You know, the Royals have a lot of those guys on staff that do a really good job and have done a good job at other organizations. And those guys are always targets, you know, and it's not like they have the kind of contracts that you have with the players. You know, they can opt out any time. So we've got a lot more coming up. We've got some review of the 2011 season, some good times and some of the bad times. Do some reminiscing. As we go to the break, you're going to hear, some commercials, because that's what we got to do. Got to pay the bills. We'll be right back.
Hey, Royal Man Report fans, are you ready for some football? I know I am. Kelly's Westport Inn at 500 Westport Road has everything you need for a great Sunday. The NFL Sunday ticket, HD TVs, $2 pizza slices, and discounted beer buckets so low I can't even say I'm here, and you don't even have to pay $27 to park. You can hang out downstairs where it's non-smoking, or head on up to Randall's Roof, which is temperature controlled and has smoking allowed, one of few places in Kansas City. This is the best deck in Kansas City, according to the Pitch Magazine, and it is home of the Royal Man Report post show. Come on out any Sunday after 9 p.m. for discounted boulevards. Get you a beer and have a great time.
You like what you're hearing? Check out FlanagansRightHook.com for more information on their music and where you can see them play. They are a favorite of Kelly's Westport Inn. Check them out many, many times at Kelly's in the heart of the core of Westport on the corner of Westport Road in Pennsylvania. Kelly's Westport Inn. Be there.
You're a peach, you're a gem, you're a prince among men. Love is a blessing, I know. Oh, but I got my eye on the mystery prize, and it gets to me. But love is a fortress of blood, sweat, and stone.
And welcome back to the Royal Man Report. We're here in studio with Jeff Herr and Fake Ned Yost.
Hello.
You know, over the break, we were kind of looking at, if you're a regular Twitter follower, you've probably seen over the last 2 days or so, Eric Hosmer seems to be a little bit bored.
And he's getting, well, or you could look at it on the positive, he's starting to get the hang of Twitter, which, I mean,
exactly. And
or both, really, because right. That's what Twitter's all about, is being bored.
Right. Indeed. So he is trying to get a fan club built up, which that part will be very easy. But he wants them to have a themed name, kind of like Jeff Francoeur has the French Quarter, or how when Paul Bird was here, there was the Bird's Nest.
Ah, yes.
So he put this out to Twitter, and it blew up. It was very, very popular little contest. He put a signed bat up for grabs for whichever name he picked. We're not sure which one he actually selected, but it seems like he's picked one. But some of the good ones, you know, there's I think Hosmaniacs is one of them. One of the great ones that I saw in the chat room just a little bit ago was Hostle and Flow, which I think that's fantastic. Fake Ned was kind of at the front of that, working all the angles on coming up
with
those.
It's amazing what like seven beers will do to your Twitter feed. Sorry.
Well, yeah.
Seven beers. So we normal came up Tuesday
with
night. Then
I don't know. We came up. Yeah, exactly. We came up with a bunch. We came up with Hostels, Haas and Pepper Incorporated. whole bunch of them. They're pretty good. But and as you mentioned last night, it's a really hard name.
It is
to come up with something there. They had a whole bunch of like Wizard of Haas and stuff like that.
That's great, whatever. But you know, it's
pretty
a little
cliche.
Easy.
Yeah, saw that one coming.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to have a little fun with it myself. I think someone had they added the hashtag hipster Eric Hosmer fan club names, and it was just John. It was like, that's great. I mean, That's a good one. I had postmodern Eric Hosmer fan club names, and it was the Eric Hosmer
the Eric Hosmer fan. Oh, that's yesterday.
There it is. I mean, ta-da.
JP's golf mom's in the chat room. She says Land of Hosmaniacs. That was pretty good. She came up with several of them last night.
I think JP had one too, didn't he?
JP had one. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Or a Little Frenchie.
Little Frenchie
now called
Little
Frenchie. Frenchie and Little Frenchie's mom. I think she's even changed her.
She has.
Twitter handle.
I saw that earlier today. Yes.
Yeah. Very cool.
Hey, JP's golf mom.
So
we love you.
It's always cool to see the Royals get involved on Twitter, and Eric Hosmer has kind of been off and on, and you know other players have been on there. Yeah. If you follow Jason Adam, he's Jason Adam 9. He's kind of one of the more entertaining to follow because
he's
and Lane
quirky.
Adams kind of have this little bromance going on. It's hilarious. I mean, you really ought to get on Twitter and find these guys and, you know, follow us as well, you know, because I think we all have our own little bromance too.
Indeed.
Heart.
Aww.
Boom, 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 boom. Anyway, let's talk about 2011 and the Kansas City Royals. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the memories that we'll have because this is a pretty significant year. In a couple of years, we're going to look at 2011 as the turning point for this franchise.
It's like the year before we all go off to college.
Right. it's like our own little American Pie. Off the rails.
Yep.
Yes.
Anyway, you know, I'm going to throw this out to you guys. What were some of the bigger moments or the most memorable moments from this season? I'll make you pick one because, you know, we don't want to go over all of them. So Jeff, you go first.
I'd say one of the memories that really sticks out to me and goes way back all the way to April. It was the second game of the season after we lost season opener, and it was just one of those things like, uh-oh, here we go again, same old Royals season, and then took the Angels to extra innings, and then Keila Kaiahui hits that blast home run to right field, win it 2-1 in extra innings, and even though Keila didn't quite work out, it was one of those things where you knew, good or bad, the season was probably going to end up more on the bad side than the good, but you knew it was going to be exciting. You knew it was going to be a fun season after that, and it definitely lived up to that billing for that. So kind of summing up that season, that was probably the first time where I was like, this is going to be a lot of fun to watch all this.
Yeah. I'd say mine was probably a tie between the night Eric Hosmer came up. That was pretty.
That was a fun night.
That was an intense 24 hours because
it really was.
It just really everything just completely. The whole dynamic of the team changed. You know, he didn't do much in his
debut,
but it was you know there was a big walk up that night and it was really cool. And then you got to throw a shout out to the street ball night and the country breakfast. The night country breakfast was born. And you know we've talked all about this you know ad nauseum on this show, but that was probably one of the more fun nights I've had following any sort of sporting event at all, and that was a lot of fun. So
it was a completely just random night too. Yeah, I wanted to pick the Eric Hosmer thing because, like you said, it was just this crazy 24-hour period. It came out of nowhere. You know, I was under the assumption the Royals were going to be, you know, a little patient, and they just weren't. They just decided to go for it. You know, I think they made the announcement at 4:30 in the afternoon on that Thursday or something like that. It was right after an afternoon game, and, like, I was at work, so I, you know, start hearing my phone go crazy and take a peek, you know. Sorry if anybody's listening out there, but, yeah, I looked. And you know, people are talking about Eric Hosmer being promoted. It just came out of nowhere. It was so uncharacteristic in a lot of ways for the organization, and they're just going to go for it, you know. And then you know they have all the walk up and everything. I also kind of like, you know, that whole month of April. There was a lot of just drama, a lot of the extra inning games, a lot of walk offs. You know, and you end up following all these guys, you know, just coming up with big hits. Even you know, Chris Getz had a game winning hit, and Melky Cabrera had some game winning hits. Pretty crazy stuff, you know, and I really kind of like that, you know, the Boston game, the country breakfast game, of course. Fantastic. It's so crazy because you have the rain delay, so it doesn't start till 8 o'clock Central time anyway.
It's the Red Sox, so you got a lot of people watching anyway. And then, yeah, it was supposed to be a 6 o'clock game. It didn't start till, what, 9?
Yeah, it was like two and a half hour delay, and then it goes into extra innings.
Yeah.
And then
Fox cuts it off at midnight for street ball.
Of course. And, you know, it just kind of took over from
good
there.
Times.
Just crazy. So I thought that was really cool. A lot of the games, like, I didn't get to as many games as I kind of thought I was going to. I got to a lot more early in the season. One of the games that I really liked was, like, right at the beginning of the season, that April 2nd game. It was an afternoon game on a Saturday, I think. And the Royals ended up coming back against the Angels. They got a couple of hits from Matt Traynor and Chris Getz to take the lead. And then they had the Futures game after it, which was the first time I was able to see Montgomery and Danny Duffy and Eric Hosmer and Mike Moustakas and Will Myers and Christian Colon. I mean, all these guys were up there. And, you know, it was also really cool to see how many people stuck around for it. And not everybody stuck around to the end of the Futures game, but there were still 2,000 or 3,000 people who hung out just to kind of see these guys the first few innings. Very cool. So that was probably my favorite day. You know, if we look back at the season, some of the biggest surprises, I think obviously Melky Cabrera's got to be at the top of that list. I didn't think he'd see 200 at-bats myself, and, you know, he certainly did.
I'd also echo that, and this one came in late, but Salvador Perez. I mean, good.
Oh yeah.
Good
oh yeah.
Golly.
Yeah,
he would be my biggest surprise.
Yeah, at first that he came up.
And then he did have a first game that was pretty epic with the pickoffs and
two pickoffs and got a base hit and RBI.
Well, and I was talking to a buddy of mine. You just watch him catch, and it's completely atypical from what we had been used to with Brian Peña and, you know, all the other series of catchers that we had. He just looks more fluid. He looks more confident. And he's going to be our catcher for a long time. Yeah. After that night, you just said, okay, well, that one's, you put a checkbox there. We're set there.
And I think he's also, when you look at him play, like, he looks like he's having a great time out there. Like, the energy that he has and brings to this team, I think that's going to be a big driving force going forward when this team gets good. He's going to be big-time leader, someone that people look to just because he's going to be able to have that kind of infectious energy to get people to have that positive attitude and everything. I think that's going to be really important, too, going forward.
Yeah, I think fans often rally around that catcher when they're good. Like, you look at, you know, Pudge Rodriguez back in the day. You know, he had Juan Gonzalez there, but I think a lot of Rangers fans back then, Pudge was probably their favorite player.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, he did so much, you know, that maybe wasn't apparent all the time. You know, you look at Cardinals fans, and, you know, behind Albert Pujols, their second favorite player has got to be Yadier Molina. I mean, it's like hero worship almost.
Well, and we're falling into the same trap. Nobody's mentioned Gordon yet, and how quiet he's been all year. And just slow, you know, A1, just kind of
always doing it,
bringing the mail. That's fine. Hey, and he probably likes it that way too. So
yeah, I don't. It's always interesting to see which players kind of want that spotlight. Like Jeff Francoeur definitely wants to be out there and wants to have that attention. Other guys just, I don't think they do. I think David Jesus, when he was here, was kind of like that. Didn't really want to be the face of the franchise. Zach Greinke obviously didn't want to be the face of the franchise. And you know, for a team like this, you know. Yeah,
by the way, he is dropping just some epic one-liners in the media for
yeah, I mean, he
for
just
the Brewers.
Just he doesn't care.
Oh, he doesn't give a flying. You know who? Good stuff.
Goes out there and gets destroyed in a lot of ways. So.
Starts pointing fingers. That's great.
Yeah. Well, and we were going to get to this a little bit later, but yeah, when the other night when Cardinals were rallying and they hit that ball at Jerry Hairston, you know, and it goes right through his legs. Greinke gets the ball at home plate and just spikes it into the ground, comes back up, hits him in the chest. You could see how frustrated he is. It's kind of like, you know, I'm someone who's not really going to rag on Greinke too much because I kind of understand where he's coming from, but it's still kind of fun to see. You know, you want it out. You want it in this spot.
Yeah. You wanted this.
This is, you know, there you go. I mean, we could have extended you, but you weren't interested.
And, yeah.
Well, and we've got a disappointments category, too. I'd also put you know, Soria a little bit. I mean, kind of righted the ship, but there was enough there to say, oh, maybe we need to be looking somewhere
else.
Yeah,
a little hesitant.
So. I would definitely put that there, yeah.
Yep. So we've got a lot more, probably a little bit more on this topic when we come back, but we're going to head off to break. So we'll see you back.